We are live, 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 we are live. So much to talk about today. We're going to talk about the Ohtani news. We are going to talk about put out a clip today about the point of view of some Yankee fans. We'll talk about that as well. We're going to talk about my New York Knicks clinching a playoff spot. We're going to talk about free agency, NFL draft, a ton of stuff. The Mets making some moves. Jackson Holliday getting called up. Oh, my God. I hope you guys are ready for this Thursday edition of the Rick A. Show. I told you I would be doing this Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8:30 every Tuesday, every Thursday. Without further ado, welcome to the show. Welcome. Let's drop the intro.
You feel that knock? I feel like Rocky in this one, baby. Let's go. Alright, check it. Blast from the past, back from the future. So if I pull the trigger in the past, no, you and your future. I'm still hustling, still hugging the block. The referee to the shit, I'm still calling them shots. I can't be stopped, that's what I told you. I'm living my life like a box of Crayolas. I'm cutting up white, smoking that green. Purple color pens, I'm still making this cream. I'm so sick, check my throat quick. My wrist light up a room like a handful of glow sticks. I'm like spoiled milk, the kids gone bad. Then it's the menace when my pen touches the pad. Niggas is mad, but the ladies is glad. Yo, they rubbing up against me like this nigga is rad. Fucking two divas, drinking on sangria.
Got the beam of the same color of diarrhea. Welcome to the Rick Gates Show, the podcast to listen to for all trending sports topics in barbershops, sports bars, group chats, water cooler discussions, everything you name it. I am your host, Rick Hero, the greatest podcaster of all time, hosting the greatest podcast ever created. The voice of that 2 a.m. crew. And the three-time award, Lab Podcast Award winner. Welcome back to the pod. Today we'll be talking an array of subjects. My thoughts on those horrendous Nike Major League Baseball jerseys, the UFC 300 card, the Knicks clinching a playoff spot, Soto's ninth inning walk last night, and the Yankee fans' thoughts on it. So much to cover, but we'll begin with, first of all, let me shout out my 2 a.m. crew, as I always do. Thank you for supporting. Make sure you like, subscribe, share. Subscribe is very important. Follow, you know, all that amazing stuff that you do out there in this social media universe where people pretend to be other people. So shout out to my 2 a.m. crew. Shout out to this podcast network. As you can see, the logo's right here. Other way, right there, and it's right here. So let's start the show. If you want to comment, you're able to comment on whatever platform you're watching now, whatever you're tuned in on. You could comment, question, tell me to shut up or ask me, you know, you can get involved. You can get engaged. This is the reason why we're doing live podcasts. Get you guys involved. Get you guys listening. Get you guys talking. I want to begin with my thoughts on fellow Yankee fans. Well, I'm not a Yankee fan, but you guys out there. Last night, I'm going to take this off because I'm about to get like really animated about this up. So last night, the New York Yankees, they're down. Two men on base. Soto's coming up to the plate. If he hits a home run, he ties the game. So it would be a three-run shot. There's two outs. The guy in the batter's box is Aaron Judge, top three baseball player. So Juan Soto, if you don't know who he is, he's probably one of the best, most complete hitters in baseball. He knows the strike zone. He knows himself. He knows what pitches to go after. He knows what to do up there. So last night, Juan Soto took a walk. Now, this morning, several Yankee fans called ESPN Radio. Shout out to DiPietro and Rothenberg in the morning on ESPN Radio here in New York. A lot of Yankee fans were calling saying, oh my God, we bought Juan Soto over here to hit home runs, produce runs. Why did he take a walk? Why didn't he swing? Oh my God, this is such a disaster. This is a failure. Why? Now, luckily, I did make a reaction video. I did post it. And I did get some really good stuff from actual real baseball fans, actual real Yankee fans. So there are a lot of Yankee fans that are very entitled. You know, they were bombing Juan today, but if he hits a home run, then they're like, oh, he's the greatest thing. Pay this man now. You guys are very fickle, right? Yes, I'm a Mets fan. A lot of you were super, oh my God, a Mets fan is commenting on the Yankees. Dude, I do a sports podcast. I could comment on whatever I want. And I'm coming from a person who watches the game, knows the game, a baseball fan's perspective. Yes, I am a Mets fan. And yes, I kill the Mets when they do stupid things, which they do a lot of the time. So my opinion is not a biased opinion. It's everything I'm giving you is me from the point of view of someone just looking at it. So you guys are super entitled. You're probably one of the worst fan bases ever. You feel like you need to win a championship every year. You're super spoiled. You turn on the players immediately. Like you. There's no real loyalty amongst you Yankee fans. So I posted the comment. Thankfully, you know, like a lot of people like Kaba, Mike, John, you know, a lot of real baseball heads that are Yankee fans, like real fans. We're like, I didn't have a problem with it. Judge is up next. You pass the baton. If you play baseball in the ninth inning, if there's two outs, your job is to get on base. That's what Juan Soto does all the time. Gets on base. Okay? So you guys need to sit down, relax. It's April. And Judge is behind them. Again. If he did this in the playoffs, would you guys be mad? He gets on base. Judge is behind him. Judge cracks the bat. No, relax. It's April and you're on a hot streak. So there's no need for Soto to just go crazy right now. My second point is this. Had Judge not been behind him, I guarantee you Juan would have took his shots. My third point is you guys don't know more than Juan Soto. You're fans. Okay? I'm pretty sure if Juan saw a pitch he really liked, he would have swung at it. Oh, Anthony's here, and he's early today. Miami took a big gamble, and it paid off. Judge is the guy I want in that situation. He missed that pitch. Yankee fan right there. Yankee fan. And if this is, let's say, by the way, I feel like since Aaron didn't really get much of spring training and he's kind of like on a small slump, why don't we flip-flop, stop moving Bobby around, flip-flop Soto and Judge so Judge can see some more pitches, some better strikes, and then he can heat up and then you'll swap him back. That's what a baseball person thinks. Like, okay, he's struggling. Let me get him some protection. That way he sees better pitches. Do you guys agree or you disagree with me? Like, yeah, I'm a Met fan, but I know this fucking game. I know this game. I know this game in and out. I'm telling you, this is what I've watched with my family members. This is the arguments and the discussions that me and my cousins, every time we get together, baseball is on top of the list. So to you Yankee fans that said, oh, worry about your own team, I'm going to tell you this respectfully, eat a dick. That's the first thing. Second, I am worried about my own team. But the problem was I got angry at the fact that you guys have the guy you need now, which is Soto, who completely changed your lineup, and you're already bombing him in April. What kind of shit is that? You guys cannot be serious with that. So, I'm just glad there's real baseball fans that are real Yankee fans that watch the show. And it just annoyed me this morning. I really got, if it was a Mets player who did that, I'd be like, okay, my guy did. Like, if it was Lindor and Alonso, I want Francisco to get on base. I want Pete in that spot, especially if you're down multiple runs. Give me the scenario. Give me the, tell me what's going on. The scenario changes depending on the situations. If Judge is not batting behind Soto, I guarantee you he's not taking pitches. I guarantee you he's looking for something to hit. So, like I said, to you fickle, stupid Yankee fans, grow up, all right? Learn the game. Learn the game. Excuse me. So now that I got that off my chest. It really is frustrating when, you know, the Yankees have a nice thing going right now. There's some minor little tinkers they need to do to get it really rolling. You lost one game. Okay, it's not the end of the world, you know? But that's a situational thing. That's how this game works. It's a situational thing. Everything Soto did was 100% correct. Okay? So we can move on. Like I said, drop a comment, question. Let's talk. I'm here. I'm ranting. I'm doing my show. And we're here to talk about it. Let's just stay on the topic of baseball, right? So today the news comes that it was indeed, in fact, the interpreter who stole money from Ohtani, a total of $16 million. He set up Ohtani's bank account. There's so many things. I got so many questions. The only one that can answer this is Ohtani himself, but whatever. So this guy, if they do prosecute him, he'll probably end up seeing 10 years in jail. Stole $16 million. They have a ton of text messages between him and the bookie. And one message, I believe, said, spot me something. You know the money is always good for me on my end. This is the biggest sleazeball in the world, if this is all indeed true, right? Because in order for transactions to happen, Ohtani has to really okay it, but we don't know the whole story with that whole thing because according to the reports, the interpreter, who his name is just slipping my mind right now, is the one that set up Ohtani's bank stuff when he came over. And according to what the report that was released today, he was also... he was pretending to be Ohtani to make some of these transfers go through. So let's just talk about some of these questions. First of all, you're a professional baseball player. You hire an interpreter to set up your bank account. Why? Second of all, do you have an accountant or a finance guy that is working with you? You know, the way it works when you're a multimillionaire, you're not like going into your bank account and checking your balances. No, you're a business. And such as a business, you have a financier who is telling you, okay, this is what you could spend this month. They're the ones that are paying your bills. There's multiple ways you can do it. But when you're at the money and the level that Otani is, you're not doing all these transactions yourself. So why did you have your interpreter set up your bank accounts? Why was he the one? He's an interpreter. Like, I get it. Okay, you guys were close, your friends. But you're still, even though if it comes out that you didn't gamble, you didn't have anything to do with this, you're still guilty. Guilty of being a flawed human being. Like, you cannot tell me, like, a lawyer of yours or a friend of yours said, hey, you know, Shohei, I don't think your interpreter should be doing your finances. Or, hey, Shohei, you know, it's like going to a steakhouse and asking for fish. It just doesn't go together. So I have so many questions, you know. One, then why did he have the initial press conference? Or today I was assuming that the interpreter did the press conference all on his own to try to like cool the fires, or, you know, take the blame, you know, be the fall guy without having a conversation with Otani, so they wouldn't dig in further and see that he sold $16 million. And if I'm that rich, people are saying, oh, you know, he made so much money, he wouldn't have noticed a little $16 million missing. You kidding me? If I'm missing $10, I know that that's missing. So, again, just the more stories, the more days that go by, the more information we're getting, the more questions I have. Like, this is not going to go away. It's not a good thing for the Dodgers. They're going to have to keep asking questions. Yes. You see, multimillionaire, no accountant. I mean, and another thing is this, right? Exactly my whole thing. Another thing is this. If you're a multimillionaire, right, there's several people you need to have at that point in time. You need an agent and a manager. Two very different things, two separate things, right? An assistant for your everyday stuff to be with you. You need an accountant, a finance guy, two different things. Finance guy is the one that tells you how to use the money, how to invest, how to do that. An accountant is the one that's keeping track of what's coming in, what's going out, and he tells you what your account is. You meet with these people very often. This is the team that you need around you if you're an athlete or a multimillionaire. And you have a lawyer, not just one lawyer. You have a lawyer, a criminal lawyer, you have a civil lawyer, and you have a business lawyer. That's how you create like a team. And you obviously have to vet some of these people and check credentials and stuff like that. But this is getting weirder and weirder and weirder. And the fact that the feds are involved, you know, initially when I saw the report, I was like, MLB, oh my God, MLB is going to the lengths to make sure that this guy comes out clean. They even went to the feds so the feds could. But I remembered, you know, the feds went after the bookie, took down the bookie, and then that's what I got the whole ball rolling on this story. Interesting story. It's not going to go away. The Dodgers better hope and pray that Otani's star power stays the same. So we'll see how this continues to develop. We'll see how it continues to go. Those are just my two cents on it. So I'm going to still stay on this baseball subject. Yeah, my Mets, you know, they just won a series against the Braves. I'm not comfortable talking about the Mets right now. Really quickly. I'm just going to explain a couple things. highly disappointed in our offseason, highly disappointed in our hiring of manager. I mean, it's very early. It's very early. I just feel like, we chase Stern. Is he really our guy? I'm questioning some of these moves that are being made. We did not re-sign Pete. I know there was a year left on the contract, but do not do what the Yankees do. That's what they're doing. They're doing what the Yankees did. Judge gambled on himself. Pete's gambling on himself. We'll see how Pete's numbers look. That value is just going to go up. Alonso cannot leave New York. The Mets need to change their culture completely. We need to keep our homegrown stars, re-sign them, develop them, build the history of this team. That's the problem. The Mets are, the way they came about was, the Dodgers and the Giants, they left town and they put this team together. But there's no rich history. There's like bits and pieces, little players here and there. Like even Doc and Darryl, we didn't keep him for long. And then let's not even get started on the David Wright, Jose Reyes conversation. You guys built a stadium for Jose to bat triples, doubles, steal bases and all that. But you don't make an offer, you let him go, and then you re-sign David Wright. So I just got so many questions. I wish I could have conversations with, the front office, get some clarity, see what it is that's going on through the mind of these people. We still don't have a GM. It's very dysfunctional. So I'm not going to comment on the Mets, but sticking with the topic of baseball. Right. I love Nike. I love the brand. Always been a Nike guy, right? These Nike baseball jerseys suck. The fact that, first of all, some of these jerseys, like that home Yankees jersey, Red Sox jersey, some of these jerseys haven't changed in a long time. It's tradition at this point. There's certain teams that are new you could play with, with designs. But the fact that they shrunk the players' names in the back of the jersey doesn't sit well with me. It's just the aesthetics of it. It looks terrible. Why did they do that? What's the reasoning about it? I mean, are they trying to send the message that no player is bigger than the team? Or because the game is predicated by stars, people watch the game because of stars. I'm not a Yankee fan, but I watch Yankee games because they have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. So what was the reasoning for that? I'm very curious to see what this City Edition jersey of the New York Mets is. It's supposed to be purple because of the 7 line. Things like that, like an alternate jersey that they wear once in a while, that's cool. The Yankee gray jersey is horrendous. Removing the white outlining on it was a terrible idea. I always thought the Yankees spring training navy blue with the white and interlocking NY or writing New York across the chest or something like that for the season would be super cool for the Yankees. I feel like they need like a, which I'm actually gonna applaud the Yankees for something that they're starting to do this year that they never did before. I think that navy blue Yankee jersey is fire. Like they should wear that during the season. That should be the alternate jersey that they wear either away or something like that. They should have used that somehow, some way. Or an inverted pinstripe jersey where the pinstripes are white. There's just so many things they could have did. But they took the outlining off the gray jersey. Like that's a small change, and it looks gross to me. I'm sorry. it's probably the ugliest jersey I've ever seen. And again, a lot of the Finkel Yankee fans are like, oh my God, this is so fire. And then there's actual fans like, why are you guys messing with this? Like, it looks terrible. So even the Mets jersey. So I don't have the hat, but the new hat, they removed the white outlining of the black Mets jersey. It's it for me. I'm sorry. You know, I really like the Mets pinstripe, the blue pinstripe. That's cool. I like the home jersey. That's cool. But the black Mets jersey, I think that is their thing. That is their, because the pinstripes, that's Yankee stuff. Okay. That's Yankee stuff. That's a Yankee thing. We need to develop our own tradition, our own stuff, our own things. Right. So that black Mets, I think that's our attitude. That's our energy. So why would you mess with that? The one that they wore last year looks better than this year. So Nike, please do something. Because I'm not happy with these jerseys. Not at all. Let me know what you guys think. Drop it in the comment. I don't know, man. There's just so much happening with baseball right now. But let's move on to some positive stuff right now that I'm excited about. You know, although Julius Randle is hurt and will not partake in the playoffs, I am super pumped about the Knicks clinching, going back to the playoffs. Like, we're starting to set a precedent of what we are. You know, that's 2 years in a row we're in the playoffs, and then we've been in the playoffs 3 out of 4. So if you guys are like, oh, come on, Rick, like, wow, you went to the playoffs 3 times out of 4 years. Yeah, we suffered for 20-something years of horrible Knicks teams, horrible picks, horrible head coaches, terrible presidents, terrible GMs, terrible trades. And now you can see that we're trending in the right direction. I'm super excited about the NBA playoffs because, one, when one of these teams lose a superstar or they get bumped out, they're going to be disgruntled and want to move on. And one of the key destinations to go to right now is New York City. We have a ton of picks. We can make any trade. And Jalen Brunson is here. Oh, and the team is good. And we have great defense. Okay, and has a comment on the jersey thing. Fanatics makes them cheaper material, smaller print, saves money. They jacked up the... Yep, you see what I mean? Like, if it has to do with the bottom dollar, the Nike jersey thing, then I'm not with any of this, because I just want specifically like baseball jersey, football jersey, and I'm going to say hockey jersey. Not so much the NBA. Those are like, first of all, they're expensive to begin with, but they're like, those are jerseys you hang on to for a really long time. They, you know, like, not to say basketball fans, don't come at me right now, are not passionate, because my favorite team is the Knicks out of all the sports. But like, those jerseys are special. You know, I still have a Jose Reyes jersey upstairs. You know, I still have a Rob Ventura Oklahoma State College jersey upstairs. So I'm not with any of this. But don't throw me off my Knicks stuff, Anthony. So we currently sit 47-32. We're in third place. Above us, only the Bucks and the Celtics. Now, I'm excited for the playoffs. Kind of like, it's not set in stone who we're going to play. I mean, let me take a look real quick. If it ended today, you know, what this would look like. It's not really set yet, but okay. So we play Indiana if it ended today, right now. Oof. And this playing game things are horrendous. Lakers, Warriors, and then they would have to play again, the winner of Suns Kings, to only end up playing the Nuggets. Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. So you got to get two wins to play the Nuggets. Wow, that's fantastic. So if either the Suns or Kings win and they play the winner of the Lakers, Warriors, and let's say either the Suns or the Kings win, they end up playing Minnesota. This is a weird like system that the NBA put in place here. Same scenario in the East. The East is the Bulls, Hawks, Sixers, and the Heat. Yeah, the season ended today. We would play the Pacers. And then I guess after that, we play the winner of Bucks versus whoever comes out of those playing games. I got to tell you, I'm liking this situation. Pacers, I don't know. Pacers, let me see. I think we could win that. That's a winnable series for us. That is winnable. Do we run into Cleveland at any point? Not even scared of Cleveland this year. More concerned about Orlando and Boston. I mean, this is without Julius. I still see some nice. I mean, we might win a series or two. I like that. But again, I'm very excited to see what team gets bounced out, what player becomes disgruntled. I had a conversation with Bago yesterday. Was it yesterday or today? I remember right now. But Bago and I were talking about potential like players that might be available. The Bucks, right? Let's say the Bucks get bounced out. Ever since they got Doc, they've been awful. Not awful, but, you know, I think he's an overrated coach. He's not the best thing ever. And this experiment with Giannis and Dame, it didn't, like, really put them over the hump. You know, they're just a good team because they have two stars. So either one of those two, if the Bucks get bounced, could request a trade and want to leave. That's a super, you know, the risk, the percentage of that is pretty low. Same thing in Phoenix, KD and Book. If this doesn't go well this series, one of the two might want to trade. Not interested in Kevin Durant. Bago and I agreed. I wouldn't want Kevin Durant even serving as a water boy on the Knicks. Don't want him near anything. Softest NBA player of all time. He was lucky to get his rings. Lucky. He's very comfortable with not being the guy. And that bothers me. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want a player that runs from being the guy. That's always, and you know, people call him soft and things like that. But I think it's that. Like, I think if you ask me right now at this point in time, either Kyrie or KD, Kyrie's the guy that's comfortable being the guy. You know, there's just other issues with Kyrie. But KD does not want to be the guy. And Book is also comfortable just being second fiddle. So those two, Book and KD, need to figure out who's the guy on that team. And skill set-wise, it should be Durant. But Durant does not want to be the guy. Durant went to the Warriors. He was a part of the guy, but the guy has always been Curry. So do with that if you want. When Durant retires, will I consider him one of the greatest players of all time? Maybe top. He's in the top 15. Top 15. So KD, Durant. Booker is an interesting choice if he becomes available for the Knicks. That would be a nice one. Let me look through these teams real quick. Because we had a Cat is someone they've always mentioned, but I think that situation in Minnesota is settling down now for them. Their the Gobert move is now finally working. Edwards is taking his stride to becoming that superstar that he needs to be. So I don't really see Cat leaving that situation. I think if they lose, I think he's willing to, you know, give it another run. The Mavs, Kyrie and Luka are finally meshing, and they're meshing at the right time. Nuggets are the champs, of course. I don't think that anything's going to happen there. The Pelicans, man, they snuck in at number six, and they're 47-32. There's always been the Zion Williams thing. Again, another NBA player I'm not interested in. He's lazy, overweight, hasn't played a full season. Probably the biggest bust out of that draft, in my opinion. Ja Morant's probably the clearest like star, but the most consistent one's going to be RJ when everything is all said and done and they're all retired. RJ is going to be the one that had the better career. You could save this clip, and if it doesn't age well, it doesn't age well, but RJ is going to have the better career out of the three. I'm telling you right now, just on the fact that RJ's on the floor more than the other ones and he's more consistent, he will have the better career. Who the flashier one is? Ja Morant. But so I don't see Zion going anywhere. Clippers, I don't think people would want to see Paul George here in New York. He's a two-way player. I think he would be tremendous with Brunson. But I don't necessarily think we need him. I think Josh Hart fills that role. Now, is Josh Hart a superstar? No. Is he an all-star like that? Not really, but I'm okay with Josh Hart. I'm not interested in Spider Mitchell anymore. So that really leaves, you know, a couple situations there. I tell you who, I'm going to say it again. People are going to hate me. I would be interested in seeing, although I just mentioned Mitchell's a size guy. He's pretty short. But Trae Young, Ice Trae with Brunson. I mean, and Atlanta's at 10. They're sitting at 10. They're 36-44. They got to play. They got to get two wins to get in. Yeah. Ice Trae on the Knicks. I like that. I really like that. And I think Mitch should come off the bench if he wants to be more of an offensive player. OG has just been godsent. I can't really brag about him so much. The guy just does everything, you know. He's like when we got Hart, I instantly fell in love with Josh Hart because it's just the way he played. He just fit New York City so well. And OG too, and OG could score. And he's like a silent guy, two-way player. Again, why we don't need Paul George. And we got Dante. And we got Bogdanovich. We got two assassins from the outside. So we're just missing. I feel like we're missing one piece. I'm going to be very interested in this offseason. I'm going to watch the playoffs. And my delusional Knicks fan that says, hey, we're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. No. Can it happen? Yes. We could go on a run. Star players on other teams could get hurt. And, you know, we could take advantage of that. But am I expecting the Knicks to go to the Eastern Conference Finals? No. Will I like to see it? Yes. Would I like to see them in the NBA Finals? Yes. But we'll see. Very interesting playoffs. Very interesting offseason. I'm going to be tuned in. I'm not scared of Boston like a lot of people are, even though they're 62-17. They can be had. If we had Julius, I'll tell you this much. If we had Julius Randle healthy and OG completely healthy, I think we have a really nice shot at Boston. Again, these are my opinions. They're not facts. Don't kill me for them, but I do feel like we have a nice shot at Boston with a healthy Randle. So, the next thing I want to talk about, a big MMA guy. This weekend is probably one of the biggest cards of this year. Dana tried to give us a really solid main event. I don't think he failed. I think he did a good job because that Pereira Hill fight is going to be insane. So I just want to run through the card for you guys, give you some fights to look out for. This card is so stacked that Jim Miller, Bobby Green, Davison Figueiredo, Cody Garbrandt is in the early prelims. Figueiredo, which is this, I think this is bantamweight. Yeah, he's moving up to bantamweight. So it's his debut at bantamweight. He's opening up the card against Cody Garbrandt. That's how good this card is. Both guys, former champs. Bobby Green, Jim Miller. That's the next fight that follows. I think Figueiredo, Davison wins that first fight over Garbrandt. Garbrandt, I think, is past his time. He's been knocked out too many times, and his chin is very questionable. So I'm going with Davison in that first fight. Jim Miller, Bobby Green, watch it. Two veteran guys going after it. They like to throw hands. It's tough to bet against Bobby Green. I don't know, man. I'm going to go with Bobby Green. But Jim Miller's been on a nice little streak lately. Then we got at the women's strawweight division, we got Jessica Andrade and Mariana Rodriguez. I'm going to go with Rodriguez on that one, younger, and she's been on a streak. Then we got Turner versus, oh my God, Dana, you really blessed us. These four fights I just mentioned would be on a main card on any normal pay-per-view. But since this is UFC 300, that's going to be such a good fight. Oh, my God. Oh. I can see either or. That's a tough fight to call. Either or. I'm going to go with Moicano. I'm going to go with the Brazilian in that one. Then we... In the prelims, we just got to the prelims. Yusuf versus Lopez. Oh, another tough freaking fight. I'm going to go with Yusuf. I think Yusuf will pull that out. And then Kayla Harrison makes her UFC debut. This is just a prelim card. This is the free card on ESPN against Holly Holmes. I'm going to go with Holly. Holly has the experience. Even though Kayla is very possible winning this fight, I'm going to go with Holly. Then we got, oh my God, Aljo's fighting on this card too, and he's fighting Calvin Kattar. I'm going to go with Kattar, but I could see Aljo winning that one. Oh my God. John just texted me. We could beat anybody in the East, bro. I agree with you, bro. It's just, you know, I look forward to seeing the playoffs, but I'm just not going to get my hopes up that high. Oh, now let's talk about this main card. All right, so we got opening up Bo Nichols. It's a phenom. I got Bo on that one. This Oliveira fight is going to be very interesting. He's facing a tough-ass dude. I'm going to go with Charles on that one. And then the fight that I'm excited about is Gaethje and Holloway. Big Max Holloway fan. Big Justin Gaethje fan. These guys put on classic freaking fights. They throw hands. I'm going to be rooting for Max, but I have a funny feeling Gaethje wins this fight. If Max wins this fight, it shoots him to to the top 10. And because he's fighting at lightweight, so he's moving up. Beating Gaethje would put him in that lightweight picture to contend for the title. That's going to be an interesting fight. I mean, this is for the BMF belt. You know, whatever. But if Max wins that fight, but again, I'm rooting for Max, very well knowing Gaethje's the favorite, and he should win this fight. Wei Li's, this is going to be the first time a Chinese fighter fights another Chinese fighter. I think Wei Li's going to retain the belt. She's going to run through this girl. And then the main event, you know, it's a great fight to watch, right? Hill and Pereira, they throw hands, they're bangers. They put on really good fights. They hit hard. Pereira's an excellent kickboxer. a three-time champion in kickboxing. I just felt like it was missing that star power main event fight to top it off. And not saying they're not stars, but they are stars, but they're not like John Jones. They're not like, you know, Adesanya. They're not like that level of stars. Maybe after this fight, Pereira, I think, could be in that conversation. Because he's always exciting to watch. And he's only 9-2. Already a two-weight champion. That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. So this card, get ready for this UFC card. It's going to be nuts. Nuts. Uh-oh, people. You guys can comment. You can comment on the show. Drop the comments. I could see it here. We could pull it up. Let me know what you guys think. So that's what I got for today. Comment, like, subscribe, follow, watch, share, tell a friend to watch. Like I said, I'll be going live Tuesdays, Thursdays. I'll bring guests on. I'll have conversations. We'll discuss all these topics that you'll hear at the sports bar, at the barbershop. Who's the best, Michael or LeBron, which that's not even a question. We'll discuss it here on this show. We'll crack some jokes. We'll have some comedians on. I hope you guys enjoy what we're doing here. Love the pod. You make me want to watch. Albert, what's up, brother? First of all, congratulations. And second of all, yes, it's amazing. Long-form storytelling. Like, and the story is going to restart tomorrow on Friday on SmackDown. They're going to start building the next type of stories they're going to tell. So, yeah, it's pretty good. Shout out to my 2 a.m. crew. Much love to you guys. Keep waking up early. Keep hustling. Keep grinding. That doubt that you have in your head, don't believe it. It's not true. That's your mind playing tricks on you. The only thing that can stop you is you. And when you find that passion, what you got a passion for, drive yourself nuts. Working at it every day, every moment, staying consistent, and things will start happening for you. So that's all I got for today. DM me, email me if you guys want to suggest some stuff. If you have a brand, like a clothing brand or something like that, and I wear a lot of hats, send me a message. I'll wear it on the show. I'll gladly wear it on the show. I'm here. I'm here to talk, engage, have these conversations with you guys. Let me know who you would like to see on the show. I got a big, big, big guest coming soon. We're going to record at the studio. It's going to be cool. I'm super excited about that. Everybody, buenas noches. Have a great rest of your Thursday. I'll see you guys on Tuesday.
You feel that knock? I feel like Rocky in this one, baby. Let's go. Alright, check it. Blast from the past, back from the future. So if I pull the trigger in the past, you know you and your future. I'm still hustling, still hugging the block. The referee to the shit, I'm still calling them shots. I can't be stopped. That's what I told you, I'm living my life like a box of Crayolas. I'm cutting up white, smoking that green. Purple color pens, I'm still making this cream. I'm so sick, check my throat quick. My wrist light up a room like a handful of glow sticks. I'm like spoiled milk, the kids gone bad. Dennis the menace, my pen touches the pad. Niggas is mad, but the ladies is glad. Yo, they rubbing up against me like this nigga is rad.